Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dale _A, and this is episode 161 of Bat and Vipers?
It's been an amazing ride. 160 episodes with you so far, Dale. It's like, feels like it's the first one every time we do this.
We've been bought out, people.
Co-opted.
Yes.
This week on the show, Bat and Vipers are going to be talking about a Hammer Kung Fu horror movie, The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires. Friend of the show and Lost Light co-host, one of the tape deck shows, Caleb, says Hammer, Kung Fu, enough said.
That's a good explanation.
Listen, as folks in the Discord probably knows, you know, Chuck is on assignment still. He is recuperating from being on assignment. So, you know what?
Medical research, I heard.
And the weight of trying to, I wanted to just end the show completely, but a little part of me said, you know what? Let's keep this going. So I tapped my friends. I begged them at 5 p.m. yesterday. I have an idea. It comes to me. I said, what if I did Bat and Vipers and got the Twin Vipers on, fellow Tape Deck podcast, on my friend Jonesy Loves Beer and Fam to do the show with me.
Hey, thank you for having us. That was a great intro for sure. I just want to paint the scene of where I was when I got this text, this honorable text to join me and Jonesy to join the episode tonight. I was filling my face with happy hour flatbread pizzas during the day.
Oh, God.
And I just got, so I was just like, just face full of like mozzarella pizzas. And then I get this thing and I'm like, oh, awesome. And I'm like, I agreed immediately. I couldn't wait. But yeah, so that was me, chin full of pizza sauce.
Yeah.
Accepting this.
Getting in
but
there.
I'm honored. I love it. I'm a big fan of the show. So doing this and, you know, being on this is just an honor, and definitely do our best to fill Chuck's shoes while he's on assignment.
Chuck has big feet. I mean, I've seen them in person.
Jesus.
I'm the one lunatic that works at night. So I did end a meeting that I was running to respond to you in that Discord.
Wow.
Partly because I hate meetings, okay, but also because, you know, it's you.
Right. Yeah. And you know, I love you for that, buddy.
Brass tacks, the meeting was already over, but I wanted you to feel like it was really profound.
Ever since I found out that I was either going to have to do a show or not do a show, I was like Gandalf and in the Mines of Moria trying to figure out which way to go to try to remember which way to go. I was like lost in thought. I said, I'm not going to do the show unless inspiration comes to me. And it did. I was driving home. So I'm like, you know, at the stoplights, I'm typing in Discord, typing my friends and say, come rescue me. So, and then I said, you know what, while I got to find a Kung Fu horror movie because my friends over at Twin Vipers, they do a Kung Fu movies for us. And Jonesy and Fam, I just want to say, I love your guys' show. I mean, it's okay that like Fam is the summer me and I get, I get a tad jealous knowing that Jonesy is recording with somebody else, but it's nothing but love. You know,
I've only had to listen to 160 episodes of my best friend and Chuck, so it's okay.
Like, I didn't think I was ever going to get into the podcast thing, but you know, I had to talk with Jonesy. I followed Dale and Jonesy and Slim, you know, Paper Keg, co-host of 70 yeah. Millimeter. Danny had me listen to all 300 and sod episodes in a row.
We're sorry about that.
That was good. Hey, man, it was a lot of good stuff.
God bless.
But no, big fan of Dale's Slims, and then, you know, being lucky enough to have Jonesy on the show with me every couple of weeks it's great. And we found our little niche. I think everybody has their niche, and something that me and Jonesy mm-hmm. are passionate about is martial arts and action movies, because we can talk about those all day and kind of deep dive. So I'm glad at least we found somewhere that we can kind of fit into the whole grand scheme of the Tape Deck family. So I'm honored. But yeah, definitely honored to still, you know, definitely be on the show. So it's cool.
The amount of times I listen to we're currently you're walking us through the Yip Man series on Twin Vipers. And, you know, ever since episode one, Jonesy speaks with such confidence about things that you can't question it, whether he's wrong or not. And he is like calling out fight styles. He's calling out animal styles of Kung Fu. And I say, I got to trust. He could be wrong, but I got to trust in what he's saying. And yeah, he sells it.
It's like the one thing I actually know, Dale, that I'm not, you know, just filling in the blanks, like Jurassic Park right. DNA. There's no toad DNA in that. I know, you know, I'm the original chain. But yeah, it's nice that I actually know about something that I could podcast about.
Yeah, for me, and the audience just follows me running through my spirals of having to watch every movie in a franchise and put myself through hell. So
yeah,
it's, I love that journey.
Reading fam's letterbox is like a cry for help every time I log on.
It's sad.
It's just, I'm the king of deep dives, and just some dives don't need to happen, but they happen. It is what it is.
I'm waiting for the Chronicles of Riddick run that you haven't gone on yet. I have that on fam bingo.
Chuck talked me out of all the Puppet Master movies. Chuck's like, please don't. I'm like, all right.
Shame. So you guys are currently, yeah, I think you're rounding out your Donnie Yen journey for now. But what about, can we talk about Donnie Yen real quick and John Wick 4? Jonesy, have you seen John Wick 4 yet?
I did complete my viewing of John Wick 4. There's nothing that Donnie can't do. I mean,
yeah.
How about the scene where he's in the kitchen when they invade the Osaka? Is it Osaka Continental? What, it's Japanese version of the Continental. And he's got to go after John in the kitchen. And he's like moving things so he has frames of reference, but he's also shooting people dead on in the face. Yet somehow I'm like, yeah. I can buy it. I believe that. I totally believe that he can't see the table.
What about when he is just eating noodles until he's yelled at to do his job? Like that scene with Donnie Yen eating noodles, waiting to just do his thing. And he's like wiping his mouth with his sleeves and stuff. But what I love about Donnie Yen in this movie is he has this, he almost stands like an anime character. Like if he's standing up, the thing, like his kneecaps are the part of his body that sticks out frontwards the most. And like from his kneecaps up, he is like almost like leaning back at like more and more angular backwards. But it's so cool because he sells it with his, like, he's so skinny and he's got this turtleneck, beautiful costume on. He's a vision. But the last couple minutes of that movie are my favorite, when he just mouths off to the marquee.
Oh, yeah.
High table.
I tell you what, I like the ending of John Wick 4 a lot too. And I wonder if we'll get everybody back for John Wick 5, because I got to make a fifth one now. I want the Donnie Yen side story, how he gets blinded and then he has to fight blind. Mm. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
I mean, I can. I often imagine that kind of stuff. And they're going to call it, right, Kane is able.
Mark it down.
John Wick 5, Kane is able.
John Wick : Parabellum : Excommunicado : Cain is Abel.
The title's like the scroll, the Jonathan. Star Wars scroll in the front.
I love when the Continental guy calls him Jonathan. Does he call him Jonathan? Yeah. Did I make that up? I might have made that part up.
Has one man ever had a greater amount of teeth in his side of his head than that guy right there?
Lord.
Like he's got actual ivory teeth, and they're made for a man 2 feet taller and 6 inches wider than he is.
Like big old teeth.
Beyond capacity.
That's right. John Wick 5, beyond capacity.
Jonathan.
What HBO show was that guy in? Was it Deadwood?
He was in Deadwood, and he was also in American Gods. But I think was that Showtime? That or Showtime. Stars or Cinemax or what it is?
Something not HBO yet.
Not HBO.
I got to break something to the table every week, guys, and you know me, so.
We're ready.
Let's do it.
Let me walk you through this, and let me get your feedback, okay? This is what I would be doing with Chuck right now. You walk into a men's room in a public place, right? To the left is a urinal. to the right is a stall with a door, a locking door. You have to go number one, but there's already a person at the urinal, so you choose to go in the stall. Now, do you lock the door behind you if you're just going to go pee in the stall?
No, you lock the door.
Yeah, you gotta lock the door.
If I got walls, I'm locked. If I got walls and a door and a lock, I'm locking the door.
And I'll tell you why.
Absolutely.
I have at my work, people don't lock, and I'll like just push the door open because I'll see that it's open like a crack. I'm not checking for feet at that point. You know, I'm pushing it open, and if I hit you when you're taking a piss, like it's kind of your bad.
Yeah, if someone's
it's
got
crazy
like
to me.
A poo emergency, like they're not checking feet. That thing's got a crack in it. He's bolting that down, and he's like. Pants are at their ankles.
Yeah,
already.
Even the guy.
And then you're in the middle of it. You're between him and the toilet.
You could have the worst bubble gut and you would still remember to lock that door. So.
Yeah,
I feel like that's on you if you don't lock it.
I mean, I'm the type where like, even if the lock doesn't work, like I'm kicking a leg out to like hold the door closed. You know what I mean? I don't want any, you know.
One leg down, one leg up. Did Chuck like text you earlier, like if you're going to be on the show, remember to ask them that like it's okay to leave the door open. What was the impetus of this?
Yeah, what brought this on?
Chuck, you're nasty.
No, actually, because because I've had this rolling around in my head for a little while now, but you know I walk into the stall and I lock it up, but then it's like, am I being judged if somebody knows like. If somebody hears like a powerful pee stream hit the watery bowl, they know I'm just peeing, and then they would be like, "Why did he have to lock the door? Like it's a whole thing if he's just going to go pee in the toilet."
Well, first like, of all, like, congratulations!
I have this paranoia
at our age with the good stream.
Yeah,
well, and when I am, you know, in a public place and I'm peeing into a watery, like I have to like push my pee even harder to make it sound more powerful.
For dominance? What are you trying to
so
echo?
So people know what's
the
up.
Acoustic walls? Are you trying to
I
test?
I got it.
Just so they know there's somebody in here that's
it's like an acapella really singer. What are we doing?
Fam, he's right. My first thought would be like, that guy's got a healthy prostate. Like I would be impressed. I'd be like, he's has to have something like good genetics.
Are you trying to mimic the pee scene from The League of Their Own where Tom Hanks pees for like an hour and a half? Is this what's going on? This is like a world record we're trying to beat. No, man. Efficiency. In and out, baby. I'm trying to be in the bathroom as quick as possible.
It's more like a little vacation in there.
No.
You know? No one's bothering me. Mm-hmm. No one's calling me on the radio.
I used to have to clean bathrooms when I was a teenager. I used to be a bag boy at Publix. It's like a grocery store.
Got like legit trauma.
It sucks. Bathroom. Yeah. It sucks. No. My manager would send me in there. I'd clean up the horror. Like the horror scene in there.
I'm not going there. Anything less than a power washer. I'm taking paint off if you're sending me to a pump.
And then like my manager was like, I'm sorry, it was so bad. Here's a gift certificate for a half of a sub.
Here's a pizza party.
And I'm like, God dang it.
Nice.
And you got to eat that sub with your poop hands.
Yeah.
I can confidently say though that if Fam had to walk into the Publix bathroom and clean it and I was in there, he'd probably like shake his head and be impressed. Like, wow, this guy's got a powerful pee stream. Like he's working with some like diaphragm.
Yeah, no, I've got a roll of gold star stickers on my wallet.
I can see Fam's face like
as like a show of approval.
Taylor, so you're like
what are we proud. Doing?
You're like not on purpose doing Kegels. You're like doing Kegel training every time you take a piss in a public bathroom. You're tightening his muscles up.
Right. Just to show everybody else at the watering hole. Mm-hmm.
It's a chance to
like
get it.
That the muskox is here and he's in here ready to occupy this space. Okay. Watch out, gazelles.
The iron bison is here.
What is y'all's rule on the kid urinal if all the adult ones are taken?
Oh, if you got to go, you got to go.
That's okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sporting event, like I'm not going to be like, oh, respectfully, somebody could bring their 10-year-old here. I'd be like, look, he's going to wait because this is going to happen. I've had a beverage or two.
Right.
I found a way to stick my wife with my two kids so I'd come to the bathroom. So if you didn't do the same, that's on you.
Luckily, none of the places around here. Well, we used to have one of our old stadiums had like the trough situation. So
we used to have it.
You still do?
In Philly. No. Unfortunately, okay. Well, I guess not unfortunately.
Unfortunately, the vet, man,
the vet
no
got
more
knocked
trough.
Down, so no more piss trough for us, man.
God.
But you know what's weird? I was telling my wife about it. I think we were reminiscing with my brother-in-law about the vet. He's a huge Phillies fan. And I was like, yeah, do you remember the piss trough, how weird that was? And my wife was like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I'm like, how the hell do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, right.
When did you walk into a 1980s men's bathroom? Like, you guys remember being at the bar and sometimes they put ice in it for no reason?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Katie's carrying a huge bucket of ice in there to dump in the trough.
Her life as a bar back I never knew about.
My friend, he opened up a laser tag place and they had one of those like no water urinals. And I'm like, this is the nastiest thing I've ever seen. Like, no, gravity takes it out. I'm like, no, what do you mean? There's no water. Like, I still don't know how that crap works.
It's a scam.
Yeah, probably.
The amount of ice that I would be melting with my powerful musk oxen pee stream, it would be uncanny.
You talking about one cube per sesh?
We got to get into this movie.
Or, okay, all right.
We got to get into this, guys.
Is this not the content they come here for, Dale?
I know. Look, this is the only chance I get to talk about pee. Let's go.
So this week, I Googled horror kung fu movies, and this one jumped out to me as one of the more iconic, the more recognizable as, yes, this is horror. Yes, this is kung fu. And this is, hold on here. This is 1974's The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires. What we have here is a collaboration between Hammer Films and the Shaw Brothers. Jonesy,
yes.
Do you want to tell us what The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires is about?
Though I was not prepped, I had a feeling that I would be called upon.
You knew.
For the synopsis.
He's very good at synopsis. I can't do him.
I mean, Jonesy's it's the worst job at a podcast. That's why they stick me with it. So
he's got 12 years of experience.
We open up on a seemingly older kung fu master stumbling through the wilds of Transylvania to one end to speak with legendary vampire, king of the undead, self-proclaimed, formerly played by Christopher Lee in the prequel to this movie, Dracul. And he says, you know, paraphrasing, but you know, Drake, buddy, I have these seven golden vampires back home and their power is waning. And the only thing that can get them back up to snuff is for you to come back and kind of take charge of the situation as king, you know, rightfully recognized king of the vampires. So Dracula says, well, guess what? I'm going to make you my incubus. Had to Google that. That's the male version of succubus. I'm going to have to make you my incubus. I'm going to enter you like smoke. And I'm going to ride your meat sack back to China. And I'm going to do you this favor. It's only going to cost you your immortal soul. So flashback to mainland China and the seven golden vampires are wreaking havoc. They've abducted seven, what I assume are virgin brides and are milking them for blood. And then, you know, one gets away. Somehow. And did I get that right? Or we cut to the Peter Cushing part first? No. Don't worry, you'll fix all that in post. So flash cut to Grand Moff Tarkin. And yeah. He in this film is Van Helsing, which I don't want spoilers. I loved it. And he's giving a lecture about, hey, this Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires and you know, even they're not just Europe's problem. Yeah, Asia's got a vampire problem. But everybody's like, yeah, pound sand, you're an idiot. You know, we're out of here. Except for one guy. He's like, you know, you told a story about the golden vampires and about this farmer who had nothing left. So he fought one and killed one. And that was my grandfather. And it's real. And we need you to come back. And luckily, Van Helsing has a son I've never heard of, Leland, who was trying to mac it hard with this rich lady who's traveling in China. He's angling to get in there. But she's like, I'll only help you if I get to beat your dad. So that's fine. She agrees to finance this trek to kill these golden vampires. And that's when I learned that vampires are mortal. Like in this whole movie, just a couple good kung fu kicks and a stick with an axe, you can kill a vampire, which is amazing. I mean, I shouldn't even call them vampires in this movie. The seven golden guys with masks. But anyhow, through some incredible-ish kung fu action sequences, we eliminate the remaining six golden vampires. And in true Twin Vipers fashion, the movie ends on the jankiest one-beat ending I've seen in quite some time. Spoilers, the good guys win, and credits. No epilogue of any kind. There's quite a bit of tragedy in the last fight, but we don't acknowledge it. It's fine.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And Leland Van Helsing, the less famous of the two, you know, it's okay. He finds love along the way. And we imagine that older Van Helsing is fine from his mortal wounds he suffered during the fight, and he'll continue to fight Dracula, who, quote, might be dead. So, seven golden vampires. I know my synopsis is all over the place, as is my trademark, but I loved it. I love this movie. I'm just going to say it flat out. I had such a great 89 minute runtime. Oh my God. Are you kidding me right now?
The Eastern edit, they hired a second director from the Shaw Brothers studio to film extra kung fu because, you know, that's what the people want.
Right.
That cut of the movie is 110 minutes. There is like 20 extra minutes
of kung
just
fu.
Just kung fu fighting. Which is crazy to me.
I can't
imagine.
It's
probably more of explaining like the different like swordsmen and stuff. Cause they kind of got thrown in there freaking quick.
Yeah. So. Well, yeah. So not to jump everywhere, but they didn't introduce the concept of their succubus to like minute 80.
Sure.
They're like, oh, they also have foot soldiers, spoilers. And you're like, wait a minute, what how does this happen?
Yeah.
And before we get to the scene, so I don't forget later, I did love how once they defeated the three vampires in the cave, the succubus were pretty much like, and walked away. Just walked out. Literally just put their hands to their sides and shuffled out of the cave. Amazing.
Well, that was, you know, they had to make a hasty retreat to fight another day closer to their master. Dracul.
So, show yourself.
What is fascinating to me, since I started this show, this is when I grew to know Hammer Films. I always knew of Hammer Films, but when I started doing Bat and Spider, like I fell in love with Hammer Films. I saw and I watched, and what I've seen has been amazing to me. And I just wrapping my head around the fact that Hammer and Shaw were like, why don't we do something together?
That's amazing.
Let's make a horror kung fu movie. That, to me, makes this movie just the coolest concept, the coolest thing around. Wherever you think the movie went or didn't go, you can't defeat the fact that, I mean, this is a Hammer Shaw John. You know what I mean? Fam, your thoughts.
No, yeah, I totally agree with you in the sense of like certain movies try to do this concept where they try to do, you know, a martial arts and then something or, you know, basically two genres together. This movie, I definitely feel like that they gave them both like the same amount of weight. It's focused on it being a horror movie as much as it did being a martial arts movie. They kind of had they both had equal time to basically fill that need that you were looking for in each. You didn't feel shortchanged in either thing. It had its horror, it was wild horror, and then it had its martial arts, and it had big martial arts scenes with like multiple people. So the grandness of it was definitely there on both ends. Yes, the horror was cheesy, but I mean, that's just horror movies in this time period. And it definitely did what it wanted to do. And it had some like crazy, like gory scenes for some reason. So, but yeah. I agree with you 100%. I think it was a fair shake at both genres, and it did them both well for sure.
I think, and fam, what you're saying, yeah, you're right. It is a horror kung fu 50-50 split kind of movie. And I think I found myself honestly a little frustrated. Maybe I wanted to pick a kung fu movie that was about vampires. Maybe I wanted like 80% kung fu, but and 20% horror vampires. But what we have here is 50% horror and 50%, like there is credit given to both genres, almost to, in my head, I was like, you know, if we're going to have Kung Fu, let's not wait until minute 32 to have the first Kung Fu fight.
Right.
You know, I was itching for a little more Kung Fu, but I mean, the fact that they blended this, you know, it's what they wanted to accomplish, right? It's a horror movie and a Kung Fu movie.
The only thing I found farcical about the whole thing, because I agree with you 100%, I thought that this would be an action film that kind of just had vampires in it, but they definitely went deep on the lore. And
yeah,
maybe fantastical wasn't the right word. Like I like went deep into the IMDb after I watched this movie this morning. And like, this is the third or fourth time that Cushing has played Van Helsing in these Hammer movies. So this is like a natural continuation of a story that's already been going on. I thought when you suggested this movie, it was going to be some random, you know, experiment that no one remembered. And if you look at the YouTube comments of this movie, everybody's like, oh my God, I remember from my childhood. I used to watch this every summer. And I'm like, do I have the blinders on? Like, how was this never on my radar?
Right. Yeah, I was doing when the link for this came over and I saw the, you know, scenes for this movie and I texted Dale and I'm like, is Grand Moff Tarkin in this movie? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, this is awesome.
But it's freaking like his fifth Cushing, movie, man. Right?
Come on,
like,
let's go.
It's not even like, what is he doing in this movie? It's like, he needed to be in this movie. And I'm surprised Christopher Lee didn't reprise his role as Dracula from the previous film.
Yeah, it's his fifth movie as like Van Helsing. Yeah, I mean, it's fifth Hammer Dracula movie, whether he played various parts or whatever. And it's also, incidentally, his last.
But are they all connected?
That's a good question.
I think this is probably the least connected, but the other ones do have like a through line through them, like the Frankenstein pictures from Hammer. They're all kind of sequels. And
he plays
first
Dr. Frankenstein, doesn't he? Cushing, I mean.
Yes. Yes, he does. Christopher Lee plays the monster.
I need to start leaving Bat and Spider some Hammer voicemails where I just talk about Peter Cushing for a couple of minutes.
I think the story takes place in from 1804 to 1904. And I got to admit, and it's probably harkens back, you know, to it's like, you know, the British occupation of parts of China and stuff, but the blending of, you know, the British people like Van Helsing and his son Leland, and the like the upper crust China collegiate crowd like mixing together, I love the way they were able to kind of like evoke that time period in this movie in a way that, you know, they used Shaw Brothers sets and like it looked, they sold it, is what I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it reminded me a lot visually of the Five Deadly Venoms. Even the costume designs really spot on. And I thought for real, like we were going to have a Bolo sighting that Fam and I could have dished about. I thought one of the vampires was definitely going to be Bolo Young.
Yeah, we have a continuing thing of Bolo shows up or there's someone named Mad Dog.
Yeah, every movie we've done so far, there's either one happens.
Yeah, either one happens.
But
this one, like, it was going... some of those, especially how the beginning started, which... You're right. Basically, Dracula, like, just used that dude as an Uber to get out. I don't know why he was locked in that tomb, but so I guess he just
figured it out through IMDb notes and some research. So apparently in the previous Peter Cushing, Van Helsing movie, he clapped his cheeks pretty hard. And he was...
Excuse me?
Yeah, he clapped. That's what the young people say. Like
that's not.
He cooked him.
Yeah, Fam.
That's
No, I think of it. I'm pretty sure.
He was in a weakened state. He couldn't leave his lair. He had to catch a ride.
No, I get it.
Yeah.
Clap those cheeks. That's a thing.
No, it's not the thing.
Everybody listening, stop right now. Don't Google clapping those cheeks. You'll probably go to websites that are not safe for work.
Safety search on, please.
But I'm 100% right.
Okay.
And when I say that, I'm usually 100% right.
Yeah. Dale's gonna deal with the emails later on this. Jonesy, not us.
Do we just lose Apple by saying clap and cheeks?
Please, batandspiderpod@gmail.com. Please send us your letters. I think I liked when Van Helsing, you know, he was able to explain, you know, vampire culture that is mostly seated in European roots, like, and translate that to an Eastern mythology. Like he says, well, you know, it, primarily in Europe, Dracula and the vampire is afraid of religious symbols of where we are. So I would imagine, you know, like symbols of the Buddha and things like that would like seriously affect the Chinese vampires that are, you know, running around your countryside. I think that was really cool. They made the effort to kind of localize the vampire epidemic.
Yeah.
And provide ways to fight.
He also says it's possible that the Western vampires migrated from Eastern cultures. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, they do a lot to kind of marry the mythologies, which I liked a lot. I love lore building in any kind of movie, but in kung fu movies, it's certainly even better.
Yeah. I mean, it certainly wasn't even necessary for the, you know, the kind of movie we're watching, but you got to appreciate the, you know, Cushing clapping the knowledge cheeks.
Yeah. I mean, get up in those knowledge guts.
You know what I mean?
If you will. But Cushing can sell anything. I mean, you give that throwaway line of dialogue. Thing. You're like, yep, checks out. You're like, you don't even question. He sounds like the authority. Like he could be a professor and you would just be like, this is the most knowledgeable man I've ever met.
Did you guys get any sense of like, and I know this isn't a direct like one or two, but like an Indiana Jones vibe in the sense of like, he's a professor. He was then explaining to the class, like, you know, this backstory. And then he goes on an adventure. Do you know what I mean? He's a professor that actually gets in there and go, you know, instead of just like
this came out before Raiders of the Lost Ark. I mean,
I'm going to get mail for that too. No, I'm just saying that like,
Danny just spit out his drink.
Yeah, no, Danny's coming to my house right now to punch me in the face. No, it's like, he's willing to go on the adventures to like find the discovery. Yeah. So it's a very like archaeological thing, even though like during fights that dude did nothing, but still he was at least there.
He did get thrown around a lot. So we shouldn't negate that. He did get tossed through fire
around the end. That first fight where everybody was fighting outside in the field, he was just hanging by those horses and he's like, don't do anything.
I got to talk about this one fight scene. And this is what Dale was mentioning before. I'm a stickler. There is a stunt scene.
Sure.
When they get attacked, like on the road by like the bandits, where they like the siblings have the first, they show off their weapons, Power Ranger style. Mm-hmm. But Leland gets tackled by a guy with a dagger, and they flub the stunt. Like the guy gets the dagger into his stomach, but like they have to readjust, and he pushes him back up so he can now hold the dagger from being stabbed in his face. Why didn't they just reshoot that scene? Why leave the mistake in? I was so upset. I was like, why? You could have cut to just the second part. Why leave the bad stunt in? And then in my head, I'm like, maybe they're running out of film. Maybe they're running out of light that day. Am I the problem? But I was so
Jonesy,
miffed.
One of the guys' weapon is a baseball bat with nails in it with tinfoil around it. You think they got money for more film?
I mean, that's where my head went. Or I did like the fact that you could tell that the axes were ceramic because they were cracked at the joining points where the blades met the body of the twin axes.
When that dude with the axes came out, like comically huge, it was like, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, like the He-Man action figure with like the power axe.
Oh, 100%.
Like just a comically large axe for the size of the person. He had two of them, but he started running, I was dying.
But where does he even get a middle Europe battle axe? In rural China. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they had them, but I've never seen it.
I mean, he probably used all the metal to make just those two. He probably couldn't make any more.
That in the film. They ran out of metal and film.
Metal and film, same time.
Yeah.
The movie's director, Roy Ward Baker, was on record to say, terrible picture, but some of the Chinese were very nice. The leading man was David Chang, a nice man. The Kung Fu people were all right. They went a bit berserk, but I left that alone. The understanding was that they would do the kung fu stuff and I would do the rest of it, which suited me no end, I can tell you.
And that checks out.
So I think, you know, there was a lot of language barrier issues between, you know, the two studios, obviously. And they, I think they just rolled with the punches. So that flub there, you know, the director's probably just like, let's just friggin' keep it because I'm at my wit's end. And
yeah. Hour 28 of a 24-hour day of him trying to edit that picture.
I mean, I will say some of the shots in this were very like an old school kung fu movie shots, in the sense of like there would be a slash and then someone would turn around and then show a wound.
Yeah.
Or there would be a delayed slash into a fall. So a lot of like the those kind of tropes definitely made it in this film, which is why I say definitely that it was equal time horror and kung fu, because the kung fu was still pretty legit. Yeah. And no high jumps, no crazy exaggerated stuff.
I was going to say it wasn't quite as farcical as the Five Fingers of Death, but it reminded me a lot of staccato cut, you know, cut away because we're not really going to slash this person in the throat.
Yeah.
But how about the guy that got his throat slashed twice, but then could still turn around and scream? I thought that... I love this. By the way, I love this movie. I feel like I have to say that a lot on Twin Vipers, so I'm bringing it.
No, it's true. I'm glad you guys brought that up, because the creativity on how to try to show somebody being executed without really trying. Like there's a shot of like a guy with a bow and arrow, and he fires the arrow, and then there's another shot of a guy like facing opposite the other guy, and like he's being filmed from the nipples up, but he like holds his stomach like he just got impaled with an arrow, and then he's like falling over. It's like brilliant.
It's great.
Brilliant like camera work to try to sell this.
And I hopefully you guys noticed this too. I thought as the movie went on, the choreography got better, which is not typically the case. So I wonder if they were filming in sequential order. And they were just kind of getting more comfortable with each other. And by the time the final fight happens, it's really smooth. I mean, it's janky on the trail to the hometown where Dracula and the meat sack resides. But then the cave fight, I thought I was like, wow, this is, you know, to give it a number right now, like 30% better. I mean, more inventive.
This was like
Peter Cushing gets involved. And by the time the final fight happens, it's like, oh, this is really good.
Yeah.
This is like The Hobbit. Like all these people, the story takes place on the road the entire time.
Yeah. The travelogue, those are my favorite types of movies.
Yeah. And they get into, you know, hijinks along the way. Like all the kung fu takes place because, you know, there are enemies stationed deep into the thickets and brambles of this long journey. Only to, you know, they beset upon our heroes at a certain point.
This is Peter Cushing's Heart of Darkness, if you think about it.
I can't stop thinking about that comparison ever since you said it. I mean, it's really like the way I've never seen Peter Cushing so fraught. Like at the end fight where there's a moment where he like bends down and he is like, big Ern McCracken hair. Like his hair is just untamable.
Oh my God, the one tendril.
That's the first time I've seen
an unkempt Peter Cushing.
Yes, exactly. Like his hair was all over the place.
But whoever had to like wax that hair to keep it in that shape, they should have got extra pay that day. Cause that there was like, like in a perfect Superman.
That's where that's where the film budget went.
Yeah. It went into holding gel.
I will say, you guys were talking about like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings stuff when they were near the end of the movie where they were setting up like that wall of like protection for the town. That was very like second Lord of the Rings movie to me, when they were like
Battle Helm's Deep,
fortifying the castle. Yeah, Little Helm's Deep. Yeah, they were building like the moat of fire and stuff like that. That was that felt very much like stay in your ground kind of thing.
How about Ching and when the main family member only going hand to hand against people with swords and spears.
Yeah, but his hands would like stab you with the fingers in the neck.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. It's just that there's better reach on those weapons.
Oh, dude, he was going for their heart when Cushing says go for their heart, and he just rams his four fingers.
That's such a good read by Cushing, too. Go for the heart.
Right through the chest. Yeah.
I mean, it was cool.
Just reminding our board.
There's one point where he blocks a sword with the edge of his hand. And I was like, oh, okay. I guess.
One side of it. You never know.
I am getting upset where the antagonists are all vampires. What am I doing here? I have to, I have to check myself.
I love the Wonder Twins, the two swordsmen that have to like hold hands while they're like fighting.
Oh my God,
that
was great, wasn't it?
It was so, and then
they hold wide shot hands when they're dying. The other guy off balance, but they kept it in too. It was so good.
Yeah, they ended up dying, and then they did the Predator handshake at the end, and then they both died.
Yeah,
great.
That's how Dale and I are going to go out.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. There's no other way. That's how we ride.
I mean, that last. We have a thing on Twin Vipers where we kind of like each, me and Gen Z kind of like pick a fight. That ending where basically everyone's getting murked was kind of the one for me. Mm. Where it's like one dude got caught and then he dragged one of the vampires. Then he rolled into the fire together.
Oh, man.
European lady got bit and then she got to get stuck.
Dude, how quick does she become a harlot?
I can't believe that.
As soon as she gets beat, she's like, I'm going to just go right to seducing Ching. Like, she doesn't even pass go or collect $200.
No.
She's just like, okay.
Bite, teeth, I'm in.
Yep. Oh, I'm a vampire now? I know what to do.
There's like Wilhelm screams in the background. There's like people on fire. But she's like, it's time to make my move.
It's a legit saunter.
And Ching went in for it. Like, Ching's smiling. Like, oh yeah, man, I'm about to get like
all my friends are burning and getting stabbed. I'm gonna get my makeout session.
There's kung fu left to do. There's still
18 people fighting in this fight. Yeah. And he's like, and he doesn't even like, he's not like, well, you want to kiss right now? No, he's just like, oh no, give me some sugar, baby. Like, this is my time. And that's it. Like, and then she's in on his neck. I'm like, of course.
Yeah.
And then her character was thrown away so quickly, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought we'd get a little bit more from her, but I liked her performance too. I forgot the actress's name, but Mrs. Barron, the widow, was actually really, I thought one of the most grounded characters.
I think from a technical standpoint, I think I had the most problems with her, and maybe it was probably the YouTube link. It was probably the cut that we watched, but she just had a mouthful of marbles the entire movie. And I was like yearning for some closed captioning. I was hurting for it. And there was just nothing.
She's definitely doing accent work. She didn't come out of the mill speaking like that. That was a choice she made.
Right. Okay.
That makes more sense. No, I did give props to Peter Cushing. Like, once he saw her get bit, she's like, she's got to die. Someone kill her. Like, no fuss, no nothing.
That was a great cut, too. Like, they just cut to him. He's like, you have to assure her. And then he's right back to fighting somebody. Like,
that literally reminds me of the scene. I think it's in 28 Days Later, where, like, in the beginning, where those two people enter the two partners enter, like, a building and one gets bit. And he's like, it's not that bad. The other partner immediately kills him. And you're like, no, it's bad. You're gone. Sorry.
Peter Cushing, I mean, he's been Van Helsing's lived through it time and time again. He gets close to nobody. You know what I mean? He's seen too many people give way. Yep.
Van Helsing's kid is also useless. Darkness. I just want to put that out there. Too. That dude is useless.
Leland?
Like an asshole.
Van Helsing.
Like, why is he there? Like, is he there just to fall in love with Ching's sister?
He's there to shoot a gun and not hit nobody. And then he's basically there.
But the movie still happens, even if he's not there.
Yeah. That love story did not need to happen.
Yeah,
it was basically
true.
Just a rescue
that's
at the
true.
Top.
That's true.
100%. There's no reason for him to be there.
Well, I imagine the only reason he's there is because Cushing was too old to fall in love with the sister.
You know what? I got that same vibe where they're like, you know, he's a little too old, you know, because they're... I thought maybe like a love triangle between Cushing, the widow, and the sister at some point was maybe like the original plot. But they're like, somebody has to hook up with this broad. What do we do? Oh, we'll just invent a son.
What? Yeah. I mean, like they need to like bridge, you know, this culture gap and have, you know, these people falling in love with each other.
Yeah.
They needed someone to fight for. Yeah. No. Also, that dude didn't take off his jacket the entire time with that big ass collar. Like, no. You ain't in fighting shape, bud.
Did you see the scene where he falls back and his coat and his suspenders pop off?
Sick.
And he never fixes it. He just wears the coat on top of it. I don't know how I was so eagle-eyed during this movie, but I was like just fascinated by this, how this film was made.
I mean, think about it. Like the last fight, the ending fight where he's there to rescue the sister, he's not even fighting the vampire. He's like running around, like playing tag.
Yeah.
Like trying not to get caught.
There's a scene where the fight ends and he retracts both of his fists like he had just double punched somebody. No, you didn't. They were just like, make something up. And he's like, that's how I do it.
Yeah.
And then he has a pistol on him the whole time and never uses it.
No, he does use it.
Does it?
He uses it. Yeah, he uses it in the...
Oh, that's right. Because then he has
in the defense scene, but he misses like six shots in a row, and then he throws it in a fire.
Pick it up off the ground and like awkwardly drop it into his holster. Like, don't mind that.
That guy is useless. Jonesy's big on like counting bullets as guns.
Yeah, that's my thing. Like, my least favorite is when somebody has a 1911, which is a very famous pistol. At 100 years old or more at this point, everybody knows it's seven shots. Everybody's known it for 100 years. There's no more than seven. And we were watching. Was it Exit Wounds?
Yeah, it was Exit Wounds.
And it's like 28 rounds.
Yeah.
Out of one 1911. And, I get it. Guns are faux pas and I get it, whatever. But like there's a technical problem and it really bugs me. I don't know why.
You hate to see it.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that son sucked. But hey, he got the girl, I guess. And then they left Peter Cushing alone in that room. They're like, all right, fight's over. Let's go. Peter Cushing just stays there.
We're going to be outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like deuces. Yeah. Car's running.
So
we'll start her up.
Did anyone wonder why Dracula had to ride that guy's body to China? But then when he wanted to, he could just revert back to Dracula and not die?
I know.
Was that a plot hole, or did I just not get it?
No, I'm thinking it's the sense of like he's in another, because they're not going to know, he's not going to be feared as Dracula in, a foreign land, because they might not know about him. So he takes the form of the dude he possessed to then rule the nation kind of deal.
And then, okay, so it wasn't,
and then if it's a one-on-one of Van Helsing, he's like, oh, you know me, I know you, I'm going to show you.
Right.
And then he becomes Dracula again.
So, and was I also the only one that thought that maybe he's still alive? That was maybe only a portion of him in China? Or did you think that was, okay, he's dead? Because they can't just kill Dracula, right?
Doesn't Van Helsing like fight many monsters so like Dracula can die?
Well,
I don't know.
Well, my thing was, I'm looking at the runtime of this YouTube movie we're watching. There's 3 minutes left and Dracula appears and Van Helsing's like, count Dracula, it's you. This whole, and I'm like,
none of him was like, hey guys,
can I
get a hand? Can I get a boost?
There's like 3 minutes left and it's just Peter Cushing and Count Dracula. It's like, this is the worst face-off ever. I mean,
Dracula for real kills himself, right? Like you got that impression.
It's one of those, he jumps in the air and he gets stuck when trying to attack Peter Cushing,
but
he
not was beaten. Even by a wooden stake, it was like a spear. Like in the 45 minute dissolving scene where his corpse dissolved over time, like there is a steel tipped spear, not a, like, can that kill
Dracula?
I think
it was silver.
Oh, was it silver?
Silver. It was silver.
Was that handy or did Van Helsing manifest that from somewhere?
No, it was like Chekhov's silver rod.
Not an indictment of this film, by the way. I just didn't get it.
Yeah, no, they showed silver. They showed evidence of silver tipped spears earlier in the movie because one of the seven brothers from Seven Mothers had one. So it might, maybe
did
the whole countryside was
did
just
he fall
strewn
in the boiling with, hot pot of blood in the center. No, right? That was
was one of the
that was the last vampire.
Yeah, the last golden vampire.
Got it.
And he turned into like a lasagna.
Great movie though.
Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, no, it was good.
Yeah,
it's a good movie.
And, I'm sure there's a little crossover between Bat and Spider and Twin Vipers, but you got to watch this. If you love horror, you got to watch this movie.
It's definitely an easy watch for sure.
And it's entertaining. And it keeps your attention. At no time was I on my phone or like, sometimes I'll like make breakfast and the phone's on and I'm like making eggs and I'm looking. No, I was sat down. I watched every single second of this movie. I was so enthralled from the very beginning.
Yeah.
Enthralled like an incubus
that
I Googled. I'd like some credit for that. The Googling.
Twin Vipos, thanks for joining me on this journey for The Legend of the Seven Golden Vampires.
Anytime you want the Vipers back. Thank you for having us.
Absolutely.
Steak Nation will be there for you.
I'm going to throw the show's contact information out there. We're going to do the letter segment when Chuck comes back, but email us at batandspiderpod@gmail.com. You can also call the official Bat and Spider hotline at 315-544-0966. And in lieu of a letter segment, Jonesy and fam, you get to be here for this. We have a super special announcement for the show. In years past, we've had big summer events, Jonesy.
Ooh, okay.
Fam, you're familiar with Hot Ape Summer.
Yeah.
Well, we're back for a third year to make your summer hot apes. Full of them. We're going back to the ape well. So, you know, there's a lot of shadow producing going on in the Discord, and that's fine. But, you know, just to cover my own ass, we were planning this long before the shadow producing was taking place in the Discord. But
was it
there H? there are a lot of ape movies out there that don't have anything to do with Planet of the Apes. So we're going back to the primates for Hot Ape Summer, Volume 3. Join us on this journey. And folks, we're going to post the official Hot Ape Summer watch list in our Discord. So you guys are going to have to join our Discord and take a gander at what we have cooking up for you for the month of July. It's going to be great. Fam, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You've been there since the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
Full of hot apes and hot apes.
Look, I can't wait. This is it's a good time. These are always good watches and good listens. Yeah. So it'll be great.
It's a good time.
I, for one, can't wait to meet our ape overlords. If there's some sort of ape kung fu movie, count us in. The Vipers.
Oh, there's got to be.
Oh, man.
Iron Monkey doesn't count, but that is a good movie.
You just call on your snakes and you know we'll be there.
And hopefully, Dale, we can get you on an episode of Twin Vipers.
Oh, yeah,
future.
We're going to have you pick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you serve it up. Whatever kung fu movie or action movie you want.
Well, we can find another kung fu slash horror movie.
We do whatever your little heart desires.
Sure.
Dale, real quick.
You guys are
back against the wall. Name your favorite martial arts movie. Oh. Entertain us.
Jesus.
Don't even think about it. Just let it come out. We'll tell the Snake Nation.
Okay. So, yeah, it's already been covered by the Snake Nation.
Mm-hmm.
It's Bloodsport.
Okay. Ooh,
what a great
there
movie.
It there it Bloodsport. Is. There it is.
Maybe we do Bloodsport revisit.
There's a myriad of other ones that I would definitely pick for the show if I had the opportunity. But yeah, Bloodsport is you know, that's it for me. It's
if you have any recommendations, let us know. We have a Google list. We have a Google Doc. So
yeah, fam keeps moving the goalpost and moving Time Cop back like five movies at a
time. Time Cop is into January. Our month of December is all cop. So it's two Police Story movies, Super Cop, and then Time Cop.
Yeah, that's how we end cop month with Time Cop.
With Time Cop. It's a cop movie.
Oh man,
Police Story is gonna be wild.
I love it
for sure. But yeah, can't wait for the summer of ape.
Summer of ape. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be a blast. And you know, doing our research, there's a lot of great killer ape movies out there.
Do you guys ever do Congo? I remember seeing that one in the theaters, and it terrified me as a kid. Put it on the list. Kung Fu ape movie Congo.
Right. Oh my gosh. The amount of kung fu, the amount of crane style and wu-sao-ing, Jonesy.
Is this how you get me? Are you getting me right now? Wu-sao guard hand?
this is because I'm usually just talking to my dashboard when I hear you say it. I'm like, oh yeah, it came with the wu-sao.
I have a flash of you like just critiquing me of, that's not true. That's not right. I know that I don't know any of this, but he can't be right. Because it's true. I'm never the expert. Always the bridesmaid, never the bride.
right? There's no way.
To nobody.
There's no way because you're too confident.
That nobody in the passenger seat. Well, that's my tell. Even my wife will tell me is like, when you're super confident, when you're not sure, I think you're probably right. But when you're sure, I'd be like, he's probably not remembering any of this.
See, that's
right.
Why. Yeah. God. If Katie and I texted each other every time we heard your super confidence.
Well, I do it
on
Vipers.
That's when we know. It's like, no, something's up.
I do it on Vipers all the time. I'm like, all right, I just said something really confident. Oh, yeah. Am I even sure I said it right? Okay, yeah. Yeah. This is right. Years of being nagged by my wife and Dale have resulted in a shaky house of cards confidence of my own memory.
Fam, I got to tell you, you really stepped into the MC role. Like, you're getting it down, dude. You're good at it, man. You're good at hosting that show.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Hopefully I'm getting better. I just want to be, a good representation for the group of guys that you guys do this for years. And I just want to be, decent.
A lot of glad handing going on here in the final moments of episode 161.
Yep. I know. We started off talking about P and now we end up with here. What are we doing? Got it.
Exactly.
Miss you, Chuck. Wish you were here. Love you.
Exactly. Chuck, we love you. I'm sorry, Chuck. I couldn't announce Hot Ape Summer with you, but we got to get it out there. We got to get it out there to the masses.
We're sorry you had to find out about Dale's prostate this way instead of in person.
Sorry, Chuck, my powerful pee story.
Don't cross the streams.
Folks, you can go to battenspider.com to get your Discord invite. That's where we would love you to join, please, because we love you over there. And we talk and I stare at Discord all day long waiting for somebody else to type and I'm hungry for it. You can check out our Ko-fi page, ko-fi.com/batandspider. And, you could throw us a couple shekels if you'd like. It's no pressure. We do offer some exclusive content for our Ko-fi subscribers. And Jonesy was on there. We did, Beastmaster 2, Portal Through Time.
Can I share that anecdote real quick?
Please.
Not to brag, their first guest at the Black Dungeon, or the Dark Castle, you guys are calling it now.
A big deal.
And, I was happy to do it. And there was a suggestion list, but I was like, I have a couple of movies I'm thinking of and I can't remember what the other one was, but I typed full title Beastmaster 2 Through the Portal of Time and only referred to it that way in the conversation. And Chuck was like, there's something about the way you're typing that has to be it about typing that title out. Cause I was just like Beastmaster 2 Through the Portal of Time. Like I refused to shorten it as if you guys wouldn't know what I was referring to. The rest of the conversation. Right. But a great rewatch and episode that was. And I recently listened back to it. And I'm also a proud donator of the Ko-fi page for Bat and Spider. I suggest all of you to donate. I mean, this is a good cause. And a lot of free entertainment. At least 161 hours now you've listened to. So yeah, what a great experience. I'd love to come back to that. Me and Fam should come back in the paywall to do a Kung Fu movie in the Black Castle.
Oh,
sure.
Oh yeah, man. A little more prominent, little fun. I would love to have you guys in there. No, now I have to say yes. So yeah, no, yeah, come on. It's like, now I have to get somebody else to bring the bad news and let me
Dale
like,
is sweating.
Away.
I could tell now from
Larry
Sanders.
Yeah, no, we're just, Jonesy's just proposing everything. Dale's like, all
right. This is how we did it on Papercake too.
I'm Larry Sanders accepting everything and
not checking with anybody before I just make a demand. But
folks, how can or Jonesy and Fam, how can people listen to Twin Vipers? You got a website?
Our show releases every other Friday, Spotify, anywhere you can get your podcasts. We're also on twinviperspod@gmail.com if you ever want to send us an email. Twinviperspod on Instagram and Twitter if you ever want to reach out to us as well. Jonesy's pretty much in charge of the socials and also putting on there that we had our last episode when we actually didn't.
All right. That was something that recently happened. I knew this was going to come up.
So good.
So the ... on the more section of an Instagram post is very deceptive.
And it's not, but okay.
I didn't realize that my ellipsis in my comment would trigger that, the more tab. So I might have wrote, hee hee ha ha, this is the final episode, ... that we get to talk about Ip Man 2. And then there was a flood of like, you guys are only on episode, why are you ending the show? It's only been, and I'm like, oh no, hee hee ha ha. Didn't you click? Oh no, you just can't tell right away that it was cut off.
Yeah, I was getting texts from people. I'm like, hey, is your show done? I'm like, no, why? And they're like, Instagram. I'm like, okay.
So we rectified
that very quickly.
Fam has a great way.
I thought it was pretty
being
good marketing, honestly.
Passively aggressive angry, where he just wrote, we're not ending the comments. No. Oh, okay.
No, because I just wanted to put it out there.
That's I feel like a big shit heel. Sorry.
No, it's actually hilarious that it literally cut off right at that part.
I was telling Fam off the record.
Purpose.
I felt so great about that joke.
Oh, he felt.
I was like, people are gonna love it. They'll be like, oh man, that JLB, his sense of humor. Turns out I almost accidentally ended the show. But you know, you live, you learn.
So good. Yeah.
No, I thought it was great. I was in on the joke because it was the last episode of talking about Ip Man.
You know to click more. Not everybody does. This is the thing. But
not many. Not
good.
There's it's quite fam a low
is,
percentage.
Fam is hung up right now. He's
no.
Like,
it happened. We're keeping the momentum.
I have to have my wusao up for when Fam decides to come at me for bad IG posting.
Mm-hmm.
It's bad enough that my wife proofreads it after the fact.
That's amazing.
Doesn't listen to the show, but she'd be like, you didn't capitalize this letter. Thanks, hon. Do you want to be in charge of socials?
We also have a big cartel site where we have a hat and a shirt, and we might get some more merch this year, but we haven't updated a little bit. But yeah, if you want a hat, it's a cool hat, it's a cool shirt. Danny Haas, host of 70 Millimeter, did our art and stuff. He did our logo, so props to him always and forever. But yeah, so there's that. I think that's all we got.
That's it. Yep. We're going to get out of here. Snake Nash, Bat and Spider, Bat and Vipers. Hey. We're out of here.
Love you.
Love you.
Love you guys.
Our theme song was created by Toby Forsman of Whipsong Music. Find out more at whipsongmusic.com.
This is a Tape Deck Podcast.